Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Seems like the question at the top of every podcast now is, will we get music? And hey, luckily today we did. But we are rolling out the, what is it, the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you haven't been over there yet, you can check out what went up yesterday morning. But, you know, hey, you should just swing by there randomly to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I'd greatly appreciate that. We still don't know what Mr. Fantasy's problem is with that. Maybe we'll find out Sunday. But Dan and I appreciate when you like that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, you know, Dan, I mean, obviously, you know, you and I are both really excited that baseball is back and the games count. But, man, I got to tell you, that Cub game sucked to watch as the first game of the season. It was just a plodding, horrible, poorly pitched game. You know, and I mean, luckily the Cubs managed to find a way to win it 8-4. But, you know, for a while there, I mean, John Lester was a gigantic D-bag. You know, he couldn't pitch for beans. And it's like, dude, you know, you're facing basically a minor league lineup here with the exception of a few guys. Let's get it together. But, you know, he sucked. Luckily, you know, Jose Urena wasn't fantastic either, and they got an 8-4 win. But you got to see the best part. You got to see Ian Happ lead off with a home run, and I know Rizzo hit one the next inning. I missed the first inning. I got to see the final eight, so I missed Hop's home run and the other couple of runs the Cubs picked up in that inning. But just bad. I was just watching the game, thinking, man, this is bad. You know, luckily for you, Kyle Schwarber did homer for you, but, oh, boy, I don't know if you got to see it, but he definitely looked like a DH in left field today.
I mean, the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, it was funny because I didn't get the WGN broadcast, so I didn't get to hear Len and Jay's excuses, you know, it was funny on the mothership to hear them say, well, you know, once a bad outfielder, always a bad outfielder. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, no matter what he looked, you know, now that he's slimmed down and he looks like he can play the outfield, he still can't play the outfield. I don't know how he didn't get hurt on the ball that went over his head. He went face first into the wall. I thought for sure he was going to be injured there, and it was going to be another one of those scenarios where he was going to be out for a while because, you know, that looked like a neck injury waiting to happen. And, you know, he muffs a routine ground ball between his legs. He looked like a little leaguer out there falling down. So I was like, oh, God.
I was going to say, you know, I know he wasn't trying to, but I felt like that first play he missed was a reenactment of Smalls from the Sandlot, rim shot. But, you know, I mean, like I said, I guess, well, game one, you know, he's probably got the nerves going since he's got the job back. But I still think by the end of this season, we're still going to be sitting there going, he's not a left fielder. He's not an outfielder. But like you said, you know, thankfully he got me a home run today. I didn't get to see it because of my buffering issues with the good old AT&T Wi-Fi at work. So kudos to them. I did see the Rizzo and the Happ home runs, which, I think that was a pretty cool way for Ian Happ to start off the season. And not only start off the season, but, kind of put that mark in as his, hopefully he can maintain and keep that leadoff spot. Because unlike Schwarber, I feel if there's any dips in his performance,
kind of look at the box score. The Cubs managed 8 runs on 9 hits. The only guy with more than one hit in the game was actually Addison Russell. So that was kind of how it went.
He got hit.
The home runs we mentioned Hop had a homer, then Rizzo had one in the second, and Schwarber hit his in the seventh. But Jason Hayward, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, and Tommy La Stella added doubles. Addison Russell also stole the base. If you've got him in fantasy, he picked up some stats for you there today with a couple hits and a steal. So the Marlins were right there as well. They had 8 hits. They just didn't produce the runs. Derek Dietrich had 2 hits for them, and so did Brian Anderson. They were the guys with multiple hits there. Humorously, on the broadcast that you didn't get to see, they kept talking about how the Cubs pitchers didn't want to throw Starlin Castro strikes because they knew he would chase pitches and strike out. So in turn, he went 1 for 3 with 1 strikeout and 2 walks. So another clear case of Lennon JD just not having a clue of what actually is going on in a game. Because he was very patient at the plate and actually just taking pitches over and over. And all they kept saying was, yeah, well, he's going to keep going away from the plate because he's going to chase one of these. And it just didn't happen and didn't happen. Like, okay, shut up, morons. So.
Well, I mean, they did get him on that that 1 strikeout. I think Contreras was a little overzealous on the throw to third. Which, if it weren't for Bryant really kind of, getting in front of where he anticipated the ball going, they could have had their 5th run. But, they still would have won. Go ahead.
No, just the rest of the Marlins box to finish up the hitting. One of Dietrich's hits was a double, or was a triple, excuse me. And then your guy Cameron Maben and Miguel Rojas each had doubles for the Marlins. So.
Yeah, and I was going to bring up the fact that I really didn't know the kid that's starting in center field. I guess I just assumed Cameron Maben would have been taking that spot if he got picked up. The kid that you drafted, I really didn't know anything about. And when I seen him step to the plate, I was like, wow, that's a big kid. I think, he really
looked Sadly, he went 0 for 5, so I'm going to eat that from Mr. Fantasy when I hear that. But, maybe it'll pick up. They had a little different lineup than I expected them to go with. I thought Maben would get the start, too, against the left-handed Lester. And I thought Dietrich would play third base. But they went with Brian Anderson at third base. And, it worked out. The kid got 2 hits. And then they started that, I believe it's Garrett Cooper. I got to double check his name. The guy they got from the Yankees, he made the start in the outfield. Normally I believe he's been a first baseman through like the Yankee system and stuff, but he played right field today and, he looked better than Schwarber, but that's not saying a whole lot because I'm convinced he could throw a glove on and look better than him out there. So, I've always liked Cameron Maben. I always wondered what he would do on a team if he could get 500 or 600 at bats. And I thought maybe this was going to be it for him, but you got to wonder if they're going to, he's going to be the 4th guy and they're going to filter, their young guys through. So we'll have to see. So, but, I know pitching-wise, everybody's got their starters out there. In a league like ours where you need your innings, John Lester, who was a pretty high pitcher draft pick, gave you pretty much garbage today. Managed to go 3 1/3, seven hits, four runs, only three of them were earned. He did walk three and strike out just two. So that was a bit of a joke of an outing for Lester against, like I said, basically a Triple A lineup. You know, he couldn't get those guys out. So we'll have to see if it bodes well for the rest of the year. Steve Cishek came in, pitched pretty well. He went an inning and two thirds, did end up getting the win. One hit, walked the guy and struck out two. Brian Dunson picked up an all-important hold in our league. He went one inning with one walk and a strikeout. Pedro Strop did the same, one inning, one walk, one strikeout. Justin Wilson came in and looked, you know, five times better than he did last year, working an inning and getting a strikeout. And then Mike Montgomery wrapped it up going an inning. On the Marlins side, Jose Urena took the loss. He went four innings, six hits, five runs. They were all earned. He walked four, struck out two, and did give up the two homers. Chris O'Grady worked a clean inning. You know, then they've got all these, you know, they got these guys that I just don't know all their first names. They're just so new. The next guy out of their pen was T. Guerrero. I'll have to get the first names for you. He went an inning and a third, two hits, three runs, two were earned. He did strike out four, and he gave up the homer to Schwarber. Then I believe it was Drew Steckenrider was the next guy in. He pitched two-thirds of an inning, gave up a hit, and struck out two. And then Junichi Tozawa worked the last two innings, walked a guy, and did strike out two guys. So there's kind of your pitching wrap up. So.
Yeah, that's Tyron Guerrero. But I always laugh because you never skip a beat when it comes to Japanese players. You've got their names down there.
Yeah, I can do the Japanese guys. I just can't do, you know, Inciarte or, you know, names like that. I screw up all the time. Give me the Japanese names and I can roll.
I mean, at least you know how to say Tashera. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it took a little bit. Well, actually, it wasn't me. That was Mr. Fantasy who had issues with that. But in a little more exciting terms, Adam Jones just hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 11th to give the Orioles a win. So 3-2 over the Twins. That by far was the best game of the day, you know, as far as things have kind of been along. So, you know, there are some other – you know, the night games will be, or the evening games will be rolling along soon. We still have the Giants and the Dodgers, which is Ty Black against Clayton Kershaw. Then we have the Indians at the Mariners, which is Corey Kluber against Felix Hernandez. And the last game to get rolling tonight is the Rockies at the Diamondbacks, which is John Gray against Patrick Corbin. So,
yeah, you know, when I came back to the Cubs game and I saw that Lester was out, you know, after three and, like, what'd you say, a third inning, all I could think of is how happy you must have been that the Cubs and the Marlins weren't in the FanDuel options.
Because I wanted Lester. Sadly, it didn't help me anyways, because I tried to be the smartest guy in the room and I went with James Shields, and he gave up four runs in the first inning. So, luckily he did settle down, but, you know.
Yeah. It is difficult with the FanDuel because, you know, I think we'd all like to go for, you know, like Justin Verlander and guys of that sort, but with the cost that they come to, you know, and with the season being pretty fresh, it's like, well, I don't know how to balance that with some of the lesser valued, according to FanDuel, position players. So I think that's where right now, especially, you know, you're like, I know come by the summer, there'll be guys you know to take a risk on, but I think right now it was still kind of up in question, like, I've got my guys, so I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, and then, you know, on the schedule, we did have the two postponements. You know, yesterday we knew the Nationals and the Reds were going to be postponed, but very early today they postponed the Pirates and the Tigers. You know, the finals here, you know, we mentioned, you know, the Cubs got that 8-4 win But there are a few, couple other finals in the book here. The Mets got beat the Cardinals 9-4. Syndergaard got the win there, and Martinez took the loss. I mentioned Adam Jones just hit the walk-off there. The Orioles got a 3-2 win. Fernando Rodney ended up taking the loss in that game, and Bleier picked up the win for the Orioles. And then the Astros beat the Rangers in what was a pretty quick-moving game, 4-1. Justin Verlander got the win there, and Cole Hamels took the loss. The other games rolling along. These games are all pretty close to wrapping up. The Brewers are actually leading the Padres 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth. The Phillies are ahead of the Braves 8-2 in the top of the eighth. The A's and the Angels are tied 5-5 in the bottom of the seventh. The Rays are ahead of the Red Sox 5-4 in the bottom of the eighth. And then the Yankees are up 5-1 on the Jays. That game also in the bottom of the eighth. Did you see Stanton hit a home run in his first at bat in a Yankee uniform?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if you're playing to beat the streak, I don't know what the hell's going on with their app, but it keeps telling me to update it, which I had already done. And my pick today was Anthony Rizzo, which I didn't get my first streak for. Good luck. Yeah, I don't know. So there you go.
See, and it does look like Albert Pujols hit his 615th career home run today in that Angels-A's game. So yeah, that was pretty pretty cool there that he's off to a decent start. It'd be nice to see him have a bounce back year, and then maybe he can stand next to Mike Trout when he gets the MVP award. So
he can hand it to Trout.
Something like that, because yeah, I got a humorously this morning I was watching just kind of seeing what they were talking about in baseball, and yeah, it's just hilarious that the guy has literally already won the award before they even played a game. And it was like, wait, are we gonna let these guys play and see who does what? Or and then somebody brought up the fact that even though he was hurt last year, he still should have won the award. And it was like, wait, did you notice the year Jose Altuve had on a team that not only made the playoffs but went on and won a World Series, and the Angels finished a distant third or fourth to that team, but Trout's the MVP? I don't understand. I mean, these guys are just so enamored with him that literally they just don't pay attention to what else is going on in the game. And it's just like they legitimately just deserve to be punched in the face because they don't really deserve to be talking about baseball because they just get hung up on, Mike Trout, and that's it. It's just all Mike Trout, and we don't care what anybody else does as long as we get to talk about Mike Trout and give him the award. It's like, really? and it was almost as bad as, Stu sent me an email. He read an article from some D-bag Chicago writer who probably shouldn't have a job because it was the day before opening day and he was writing how the Cubs were the front runners to sign Bryce Harper next offseason. We haven't played a game in this season yet. And you're writing about the next offseason? Okay, great. Turn in your reporter card. You don't deserve to write articles. Go away.
I don't know. I think it's a cool idea, but I just don't see it happening. And that's what they were alluding to during. I don't remember. It was the ESPN guys. I don't know the names. During the Cubs game, but that's what they were talking about with the Yankees. Well, maybe they're trying to save their payroll for next year. But at least they didn't bring up the whys.
Yeah, it was just, you know, so incredibly stupid listening to this, you know, and especially, I mean, we're talking about the Cubs, you know, a team that's, you know, going to contend for a playoff spot and, you know, legitimately should have a chance of going to the World Series. And we're talking about next off season already? Really? You know, this is what we have to look forward to all year is, oh, well, you know, when the Cubs sign Bryce Harper, it'll be all different next year. Yeah, great. Thanks. You know, it's like, really, you know, could you be a bigger moron? So,
well, no,
you know,
it's more
frickin' day.
You know, to make, and I don't know if you read the article, and of course, I mean, all that great and dandy, but you would have to make room for him. And unless Jason Hayward comes out and bats 400 with, you know, 35 home runs, he's got right field. And if you move him over to center, then pretty much you're talking about Ian Happ out of a job. But, you know, if Ian Happ performs, you don't want to get rid of him. Well, then you're going to somehow have to package up and get rid of Javi Baez. And who the hell is going to take Ben Zobrist? You know, but
well, you can package him with Javi Baez.
Yeah, but you know, as Cubs fans, oh no, we don't want to get rid of Javi. Well, you don't want to get rid of Javi. Well, then you have to get rid of Russell because then Javi can play short. Oh no, we can't do that either. We want all the guys that are on the field except for Hayward, and you know, Harper can easily slide into his place. Except you don't have. There's not going to be a buyer for that. I don't know. And I think that's what adds to, you know, your point of it being stupid and idiotic to even be talking about that right now.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, like I didn't even have that hang up with it. I mean, I wasn't even that far ahead about thinking about, you know, where he was going to play or how they were going to juggle it or anything. You know, my big thing was we have, you know, can we play this season? You know, these morons have to kind of realize that the Nationals legitimately have the entire season to negotiate with him if, you know, Harper's agent is willing to talk to him. You know, some guys don't like to do that during the year. But, you know, I mean, that's a huge advantage for them. You know, and you know, obviously there's going to be other teams in the mix. You know, the Yankees have a lot of money. The Red Sox have a lot of money. The Dodgers have a boatload of money. You know, I mean, it's not like this is a slam dunk once he hits, if he hits free agency, that, you know, the Cubs are, you know, where he's going to go. But, yeah, it was just like, okay.
Not only that, the Nationals will have the money to spend on him too. So
right. So you know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, the talk about some of the other teams that could possibly have some money. You know, there's a lot of talk that the you know, the Phillies will have extra money next year that they're going to be willing to spend. You know, so it's just kind of like, okay, you know, I mean, there's, you know, there's going to be other teams in this mix. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, no, he's going to be a Cub. Okay, great. I mean, you know, sure. You know, it's fun and, you know, it could be exciting and, you know, all that other stuff. But, yeah, we got such a long way to go. I mean, you know, do we really need to be talking about this right now? So...
I mean, the White Sox are going to have money, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, obviously you wouldn't think of him as, you know, going there. But, you know, I mean, they would be a team that, you know, I mean, you never know. Maybe he saw something he liked there or something to that effect. And, you know, you never know how these things kind of work out. But, you know, I mean... I just didn't get it because it was like, yeah, it's not even day one of the season, and this is where you're going. Like, really? So, I just kind of, you know, kind of, you know, one of those days where I just wanted to punch somebody in the face. You know, it just kind of happened that way. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I definitely need to do that to somebody. So, you know, the sad part, Dan, is, you know, I did end up with Jason Hayward in the auction league, and I didn't start him because he's just kind of like my extra outfielder. He picked up that double today. So I was like, oh, well, I guess, you know, just one of those things that kind of happened. But, you know, then I would have had to bench, you know, Chris Davis, who homered, and I've got Taylor and Puig as my other two outfielders. So I'm pretty happy with the outfield there. I just, you know, it was just, I thought I got a pretty good deal on Jason Hayward. So I, you know, I took it, and he does play both right and center. So it's not like he won't play for me. It's, you know, kind of working things out there.
Just didn't happen to be today.
Yeah, you know, maybe tomorrow. So since they're playing, you know, I'll probably be able to, you know, to find a spot for him, because I know, you know, obviously some of the teams have, you know, days off with the way that the schedule is set up. So I might be able to plug him into a spot. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But yes, and then you were saying you did not get your Pirates and your Tigers out of your lineup. Did you have a lot, how many guys did you actually have?
It was like three or four, and then I totally blanked on my my FanDuel, so I forgot to take all my Nationals out. So.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, luckily I had
Candelario, Odubel Herrera, and Booter Jeanette all in my starting lineup.
Luckily I was able to get in early and swap my guys out, and I don't think I had anybody in FanDuel I had to swipe out, so that was a big plus there. But yeah, it was just kind of like,
Well, you know what it was? I think it was partly because I only looked. I think I just kind of looked at the Snake League and forgot to jump in on the auction league. The only one I'm a little disappointed in was I didn't get, how do you say his first name, Yomar Sanchez, and he had three RBIs today.
Oh. Yeah, I wanna look here since you mentioned FanDuel and see how my how that lovely lineup I built around James Shields is doing today. To see, I'm assuming it seems to be relatively non-competitive here. I have 43.2 points as of right now. So let's see what I'm up to. James C. Shields scored 6 points. I had Jonathan Scope and Miguel Sano. They both took zeros. I did get 9.5 out of Christian Yelich, who is still playing. That game's in extra innings. And Rhys Hoskins was a pretty good pick, because I got 27.7 out of him, and that game's in the eighth inning. So I made a couple good picks, a couple bad picks, and then James Shields just didn't work out. Well, you know, the Sox are up 14-4. Maybe he'll get a win, and I'll get some extra points from that. So, but yeah, it's, I do not think I have a winning lineup, as it looks like the last winning position is I need 127 points. And I just don't think I'm going to get there unless Paul Goldschmidt, Francisco Lindor, and AJ Pollock just go off. So, and your guy Will Myers has gotten a zero for me so far, even though they're in extra innings. So. So yeah, better luck next time for me as I move along here. Hopefully my NBA lineup will do better tonight. But just one of those days teaches me to try to be smart and, you know, go with James Shields so the Royals wouldn't hit. I should have known better. So, but you know, while we're on it, Dan, I don't know if you saw this, but Greg Holland finally got a job.
Yes, I did.
So yeah, he agreed to a 1-year deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. Of course, he has to pass a physical, but you know that should be nothing he shouldn't be able to do. At least you would think that. So I don't know. My guess is he goes to extended spring training for a little bit, and you know then he probably not too long being a reliever, but. You know, we'll see. I mean, oddly, you know, Dan, I mean, I think you and I have kind of penciled them in with the Cardinals for quite a while, wondering what they were doing with that bullpen and, you know, how they were going to kind of juggle it. So they did get roughed up a little bit today. So good signing.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great signing for them. You know, and the fact that it's only a 1-year deal, it doesn't lock them up too long. And, you know, they can reevaluate by the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, that's always a big plus there with that. So, but yeah, you know, like, you know, we were wondering, you know, he was kind of the guy left, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, what's going on? Where's it going? Why the hell is this taking so long? You know, and, you know, we got it all taken care of though. He's got a job and, you know, I don't think we have, you know, there's still some guys floating around out there, but I, you know, nobody who, you know, had 40 saves last year. So, we'll see how it goes there. But, you know, I also did see I missed this earlier. I was kind of surprised, but the Giants put Mark Melancon on the DL. I didn't even realize he was having I knew he was scuffling a little, but I didn't realize he had a bad enough injury to go on the DL. Actually, did you know he had been dinged up like that, or that he was going on the DL?
I had no clue. I guess today would be the day where the first day of the season. That's when they list that. So yeah. I believe I have him in the ESPN league.
They said an MRI showed inflammation in his right flexor. So, but you know, he had been dealing with pain all spring. You know, I knew that, and I have him in, I don't know if I have him in one of the leagues, the snake league or the auction league. So yeah, you know, I was kind of wondering, cause they had him listed as day to day. You know, and it was just kind of like, okay, you know, what's going on? But there were no updates or anything. And then it was literally, hours before games actually started today that, they decided to plug him into the DL. So, we'll have to see how that kind of works out. But, like the article here says they're going to go with Hunter Strickland. As the closer, I thought they might go back to Sam Dyson, who had 14 saves from last year when Melancon was hurt. But yeah, they're saying here it's going to be Strickland, who for the first time in many years I actually don't have on a team. I think the last 2 or 3 years I had him, Dan, just waiting for him to kind of become the closer. And this was the year I stayed away from him because they had Melancon. So.
Yeah, he's focused.
Yeah, I guess this was the year I should have picked him up and plugged him into my plugged him into my bullpen. So but yeah, just I was kinda like, oh, okay, that's just my luck, right? So another injury today, I don't believe it's anybody, either you or I had, but Tyler Flowers left the Braves game with an oblique injury. And, they've been really happy with him, as their catcher. And, he was a White Sox prospect for a while, and, it didn't work out. And, he was pretty solid for the Braves last year, but, these oblique things can hang around, and, as a catcher, that could be a little rough. And, he did it batting, actually in his first at bat, according to the, the report here. So that's just, that's some bad luck, huh?
Oh yeah.
You know, I know I don't have him. I don't think you didn't end up with him, did you, in either league?
No.
Oh, no, Jonathan LaCroix catches for you in every league. What am I talking about? So.
Don't forget Posey. I got Posey, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if it's not Jonathan LaCroix, it's Buster Posey. Those are your catchers this year. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, so I don't know, you know, maybe in somebody's league, he might be out there in our league somewhere, but yeah, who knows? So now, did you, get to see or catch up? Did you find something you liked today or you didn't like today so far with the games, or how are you enjoying things?
Well, I didn't like the fact that John Lester, couldn't make it through even five. I thought that was a little, I don't know.
Five? He couldn't make it through four?
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, he should have been able to go through the sixth inning. But, both ends of it, I think both pitchers were very disappointing in that sense. But I guess you got a good look at what the bullpen looks like, so to speak, and, Justin Wilson performed, which he didn't do last year. So I guess you've got to take the positive. The other side of it is I just don't like how, and it's just something you and I are just going to have to, I guess, adjust to and get used to, is the fact that this is just going to happen. They're quick to pull the plug or, rein the horse in or whatever you want to call it, and bringing these pitchers in if they're not, performing at the level they're supposed to. But, knowing who the coach is and, the general manager and president, it's the first game of the season. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And whatever other cliches you can come up with as to why they're pulling a guy like Lester out. But, if this continues, it's going to be like the NFL where, the first 4 weeks of the NFL is, preseason weeks 4 through 8.
Yeah.
And, I think we might be getting to that point where, instead of the long haul grind with pitching, they're just going to continue to be even more babies throughout the season. I think the real worth of a pitcher is not only getting into those situations, but being able to get himself out of those.
Yeah, it was kind of.
I was watching some of the after the Cubs, the Rangers, Astros game. Pointed that my number one pick, Altuve, went 0-for-2, but he did get an RBI on a sack fly. So I did catch that. But Rick Sutcliffe was just talking about he didn't want anyone coming to the mound. If you're coming to the mound, you better be taking them out. But that he wanted to pitch through everything. So I wish that attitude was still employed today.
Yeah, sadly, it just doesn't, it just doesn't go like that anymore. Get a five and turn it over to our fantastic bullpen where, everybody throws 800 miles an hour and we can, we can get that. But since you did bring up the Astros Rangers, did you happen to see the way the Astros were playing defense on Gallo?
On who?
On Joey Gallo. Did you see the shift implied today?
No. I had it on. I was listening. I had switched out from that point. But all I heard was the chatter about, how the Astros are one of the teams that imply the shift the most. And then that it almost did it work out for them? They still got them. On the double play.
I think he struck out, so it didn't matter when I was watching it. But, they actually had Alex Bregman, who is their third baseman, as you and I know very well, go out and play left field, and then they basically used the four-man softball outfield against him. and all three of the other infielders played to the right of second base. So there was nobody on the left side of the infield. And of course, in today's game, where average doesn't matter, instead of being talented enough or intelligent enough to being able to just literally tap the ball the other way for a base hit, he wants to pull a home run and ends up striking out against Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. So
I think he still would have struck out.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know. Well, you know, like you saw in the Cubs game today, or maybe you heard it. You know, they did that to Anthony Rizzo, and he tried to bunt twice and failed miserably. I know he's normally a lot better at it than he was today. Today he looked horrible trying to do it. But, you know, the Rangers, you know, it was a 3-0 game at the time. If he gets himself on base, that puts the tying run in the on-deck circle. You know, so, I mean, these could be big deals down the road. I mean, if it's a one-run game and they're playing you like that, you need to get yourself on base. You know, I mean, especially a guy like Gallo, who's a luckily, you know, if he's lucky, he's a 200 hitter. You know, those 40 bombs aren't going to make up for the fact that he strikes out 200 times. You know, I mean, he needs to, you know, how difficult should it be for a guy to be able to hit the other way? You know, I mean, they used to teach it all the time in the minors until analytics took over. And the only thing that mattered was launch angle and swing plane and, you know, exit velocity and all this other crap. You know, I mean, they're literally giving this guy a 300 average, and he can't take advantage of it.
You know, that's what the three-man team during the Cubs game brought up during Starlin Castro's strikeout was the fact that, you know, I believe there was a man on – yeah, the man was on third. I forgot who it was. And you know, I forget which one of the broadcasters brought it up. I don't know if it was the guy who wasn't a ball player. I think it was one of the two ball players that brought it up. But the fact that he's like, you know, they don't teach the game to hit for contact anymore. We, you know, get the ball going the other way. So, you know, in Starlin Castro's situation with, you know, two men out, I think it was first and third, one out, you know, he should have hit the ball somewhere. And I didn't really get to see the whole at bat, so I don't know. You know, I couldn't tell you the whole breakdown of it. But, you know, Starlin Castro or not, it doesn't really matter who the player is. It's just the way the game is today. And it's just asinine that they don't, you know, he's like, even mentioned, you know, everyone wants to go for the long ball. Everyone wants to be the hero. Or nobody wants to be the guy that, you know, knocking the ball just hard enough to get it out and over the outfield to score that run. You know, to get that other guy over from first to third. He's like, you know, that's part of the game that's really missing. And, you know, maybe we'll see that way, but I highly doubt it. And, you know, when you bring up the shift on Joey Gallo, you know, it reminds me of when Joe Girardi, one of the biggest users of the shift, said they should ban it. But, I mean, you know, analytics or not, they were doing maybe not as drastic in the past, but they were doing shifts when I was a kid. I remember watching them do shifts in the 90s. Maybe not as much as they did, like, say, when, you know, Gallo you brought up or even David Ortiz came up to bat. But, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, why would we not do the shift knowing full well that, except for the likelihood of Anthony Rizzo, the guy that's coming up to bat is just going to swing away? You know, it still reminds me of A League of Their Own. You know, quit swinging at the high ones, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, kind of humorous. But, you know, this is the first time I think I've ever seen a team play four outfield.
I haven't seen that shift yet.
Yeah, you know, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting. He's going to, you know, we're going to do this. And so, you know, and again, the funny thing is they went through all of it just for him to strike out. You know, so he's, you know, he's well on his way to his 200 strikeouts for the season. But, yeah, and then, you know, the opposite of that is, you know, I was watching the Orioles Twins, and they kept pitching Manny Machado away. So what did he do? He doubled down the right field line. You know, instead of trying to pull the ball for a home run and ground out, he takes it where they're pitching him and doubles down the right field line. So, yeah, it's just the difference of, you know, talent or ability or however you want to look at it, that, you know, Machado is good enough to be that kind of hitter, and Gallo is just clueless up there. Is, you know, literally he's a caveman with a club just trying to hit the ball out of the park. You know, I mean, that's really his only purpose. So, you know, that's kind of what you get. And, you know, in the end, he'll cost the Rangers more games than he'll win them. But, you know, the home runs will be nice. It'll be fun to, you know, see how far they go and all that stuff when he hits them. But, you know, other than that, I mean, he's, you know, he's just, you know, like I said, he's a caveman basically in a baseball uniform.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, this comes up through as a kid. You know, they're not teaching you to make contact or hit the ball anymore. Make contact or, you know, kind of get on base is for the kids who aren't going to play in the majors. You know, you're not going to get that look, so to speak, if you're not throwing 100 miles an hour or you're not, you know, whacking bombs.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know, you got to figure there's a scout out there somewhere who knows what he's doing, you know, and can find these guys. But, you know, it's the way they're coached, you know, through the minors now. I mean, nobody cares if you can hit, you know, 400, you know, because you're not hitting any home runs. You know, I mean, there used to be a place like that for guys in the majors. Now I'm not sure if there is.
No.
You know, unless you're a catcher, throw guys out.
Yeah, well, even looking at the Cubs lineup today, I like that they brought Ian Happen to lead off. That was perfect. I like that. You know, it worked out today. He got the leadoff home run. When I look at the kid, I do not, you know, and like you said, they project him and they want him to be this big power hitting kid. Don't look at him and see that. When I look at, you know, his build and everything, what he's supposed to do to me is get on base. I don't care what you do. Get on base and get it over second. And only for Chris Bryant to come up, I still think that Addison Russell, Javi Baez should have been in that two-hole. You know, but the only problem with having Javi Baez in the two-hole is he's also swinging for the fences as opposed to swinging to get on base or get a guy over.
Well, here, you'll get a kick out of this because, you know, this is one of those things that you can talk about. I'll mention it again. I was really enjoying the Orioles-Twins game. I think it was the best of the early games. The Orioles announced their lineup, and you know who's leading off for them so far, you know, for day one of the season? Yeah, they let off Chris Davis. So, yeah, I believe Machado hit second. So it was just kind of like, wait, who's leading off? And I guess they did this in spring training. And it was, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, they thought Showalter was doing it because they wanted him to get Davis at bats. And he was just kind of like, well, we'll see, you know, ha, ha, ha. And then here it is, opening day, and he's the leadoff guy. So now, you know, now they've got a 200 strikeout guy a year leading off. So who knows?
Well, but if he takes a lot of pitches, then it's not worth it, right?
Well, that's the thing. He takes a lot of pitches like Schwarber. So it's they're doing the same thing that the Cubs did last year. You know, it doesn't matter that he hits 200. You know, well, he'll probably hit about 220, maybe 230. You know, he'll get his 30 to 40 home runs. He'll end up somewhere in between there. But he takes a lot of pitches. So, you know, we don't need a guy who can get on base, you know, 30% of the time. We want a guy up there who's going to take a lot of pitches because then we can get the starter out because, you know, once he gets to a certain pitch number, they're taking him out. And it's just like, oh, God. It's like that's the first thing. I mean, it's like, how bad are the Orioles that they couldn't find somebody who could lead off, who could get on base? You know what I mean? They have some guys. I mean, Tim Beckham started at third base. You know, I thought he could be a pretty solid leadoff hitter. He played pretty well for them last year. You know, I would have taken Adam Jones in the leadoff spot. I know he's a little bit of a power guy, but, you know, I would have probably taken him. But, no, it's Chris Davis. I mean, we'll see what it is tomorrow or Friday or whenever they play next. But for today, it was Chris Davis.
I mean, who should really be the cleanup guy?
Yeah. But I wanted to run this by you, Dan. I know, you know, one of the things you really enjoyed doing is, you know, going and seeing games in other parks. You know, like, was it last year you went to San Francisco and Boston, and, you know, you kind of get out and you get around. Have you considered taking a trip to Nationals Park at any time to see Washington play?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's definitely one of the spots, but, you know, I don't have it in plans for anytime soon yet.
Well, you know, I wanted to warn you. Now, I know this doesn't really pertain to you because I know you're not a huge beer drinker, but I've seen your wife put down a few at the Eagles Club on her own. This article here says that beers at 25-ounce craft beer at Nationals Park will run you $16. So I just wanted to, you know, make sure you know, you bring a little extra cash when you go to Washington in case your wife wants to have a few. So.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, 16-ounce can at a bar is like $5 now.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I actually went to a bar, so I wouldn't, you know, yeah. I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But yeah, I saw that and I was just kind of like, damn, hey, man, I ain't drinking if I go to Washington. So.
Now, you'll actually get a kick out of this one. So, you know, I'm dragging my wife down to South Bend for opening day with the South Bend Cubbies, and we got this pretty sweet VIP package. I think I don't know if we talked about it on air, but I'll do a little plug again. I don't know if the tickets are sold out yet, but you know, you get 2 hours of free food buffet. I don't know what the food is. I don't really care. I'll eat whatever's there because, you know, part of the package. You get two coupons to go into their gift shop, store, whatever you want to call it, and you get two free 47 brand hats, whatever you want to pick out. And not only that, I got four coupons for four free 16-ounce beers. So my wife's going to be probably passed out sleeping on the way home.
Oh, yeah, she'll get her napping on the ride home.
Oh.
And when is that? When is that? That's pretty, not too far off, is it?
Saturday, April 7th. So is that's next Saturday?
Oh. Yeah, a week from Saturday. So what, 10 days?
Yeah.
So
I've always wanted to go to an opening day. I just, you know, never wanted to shell out the money for the Cubs, you know, the major league teams, because it's amazing how watch the opening day tickets will go for. It's outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of nuts what, you know, people will pay for, you know, those kind of things. So,
well, you know, even in Miami, the attendance of Pat and Ron throughout, there was like 39,000 today, but they both assume that, you know, after, you know, tomorrow's game or this week, the rest of the weekend, it might drop down. But then again, I don't, you know, if I'm a Cubs fan and I flew out there for the weekend, shoot, I might go to all the games if I can get a pretty nice deal on them.
Yeah, you got to figure. I mean, you know, Miami isn't exactly, you know, one of those places that's selling out. So, you know, you might be able to, yeah, land some kind of, you know, really good deal.
I mean, because, you know, I don't really do the nightlife a whole lot. So tomorrow night's game would be great because, you know, you can't go to the beach at night.
No?
No. Yeah, I don't know if you've been to the ocean, Big Jack, but it's a lot more intimidating, especially in once the sun has gone down.
You know, I've watched way too many movies and nature specials and stuff to want have I want to have anything to do with the ocean. So
yeah, I mean, it doesn't look so scary. It looks very nice during the daytime, but once the sun goes out and you're on the beach and there's there's no life, there's nothing. But you know, if you got a full moon that's going on, it's very intimidating. I actually did not go anywhere near the water when I was out east. We were at Virginia Beach. We just wanted to go on the beach to see the ocean. This was like 10 years ago. It was the first time I've ever been to the ocean. And how people do the walk along, the water just kicks up and touches your feet. You know, you don't really ankle deep. I didn't even get anywhere near the water. It's very intimidating at night. Not gonna lie.
So yeah, no, I would like to see it, but yeah, I have zero desire to, go in or any of that stuff. You know, that's not for me. I'm okay with just looking at it. So, I don't even want to stand in it. That's fine. So.
Hey, the salt water feels good on your body.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm just not, like I said, too many, too many movies, too many nature specials, too many of that stuff to, even bother to go through with that. So yeah, I would have to find something else to do as well if I was in Miami.
Nah, you can just lay on the beach. Just don't bring food.
Okay. No.
No, I guess since we're rolling out of time, I could tell this funny story. When I went down to Miami a few years back, and we took in the Heat game earlier that day. I was on the beach with my wife's nephew, and it was the hotel's private beach, which is pretty sweet. And since my wife and all her coworkers were working, it was very open. But one of the other coworkers, his wife and their daughter, were on the beach, and they decided to take in their lunch. And within 10 minutes, the seagulls started attacking them.
Oh.
All of a sudden, I heard a little girl squealing and a grown woman screaming. And we turned around, and some of the workers came over and took their food away. It was pretty funny, though. I mean, and these seagulls, they're pretty gangster down there. They don't care. They're not afraid to come up to you and snatch it right out of your hand.
So yeah, that would definitely not be something I would not enjoy. So I don't want to lose my food to anybody. One of those things. So are you gonna catch Giants Dodgers when you get home and situated?
Oh yeah, I got my guy Kershaw starting. I didn't draft Ty Black, but I like him too.
All right, well the music means that Dan and I are gonna take off, but hey, we'll come back tomorrow to do this one more time for the week. You know what to do while we're gone though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like to hunt us down. We don't have an issue with that. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.